Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's 10:30, and I'm here again to do a show. And today I'm going to do the show on my title is Why Bernie Sanders Matters. And this is a show that's going to be about a whole lot more than Bernie Sanders. What the title really is talking about is the question as to why the left has been able to maintain its standing in society while the right wing is under such vicious attack. And if you look at the history of the left wing through the Bolshevik Revolution, it is one of the most criminal organizations ever created. So it's a very interesting historical question as to why they are able to continue to thrive and survive. Anyway, the name of this show is Old and New, and my name is Keith Brabender, and I'd like to remind you I have two books on Amazon. One is called A Deserted Place, which is a novel, and the other is called The Summit of Things, which is a book of poetry. You can get them under my name or the name of the books, A Deserted Place or The Summit of Things. Bernie Sanders now did very well in Iowa, and he's running again New Hampshire, which is next door to his home state that he represents, of Vermont. So it's considered that he should do very well. The theory is that he will start losing when he goes south. That once he ends up in the Carolinas and he ends up in Super Tuesday, which takes in a large number of votes, Mrs. Clinton will end up getting rid of him, but he will still have given her quite a headache until then. But what I'm very interested in about Bernie Sanders is what he really represents philosophically and historically within the context of politics for the last 200 years. I don't think it's possible to describe to people in the modern world who would say would be 20 or 25 years old the feelings that one had about a man like Bernie Sanders 100 years ago or less, because the true leftists, people who classified themselves as a socialist and moved into the realm of being a communist, were viewed as very, very dangerous criminal people. And they were people who were arrested and harassed and gotten rid of. Many of them were some in America were deported. These people were viewed as enemies of the state. And they were seen as people that couldn't be trusted in any way and had an underlying philosophy of overthrow of the government and were people who were potentially going to be violent and literally be mass murderers if they were given the chance. It's hard to believe that this is what somebody would think of Bernie Sanders when you see him. He's a 75-year-old man now. He was born in Brooklyn, New York. And what he has, and why he's fascinating to me, is he has all the characteristics, in my opinion, of what we think of as a classical American leftist. And there are certain characteristics that do divide them, I would imagine probably do divide them from, think of as the leftists that ran Europe for many years in the early 20th century. There's a very famous statement from a communist who was put on trial in Germany in the 20s for trying to overthrow the government. And it was questionable if his trial had any fairness about it. But he made a very famous comment in which he said that a communist is a dead man on leave. And what he was saying is that if you were a communist 100 years ago, this was a very, very dangerous and violent way of living. And it was really brutal. And now what we tend to think of leftists as, we tend to think of them as being people in academia, that they're like college professor types. They have a tenure somewhere. They want to demonstrate. They want to lead student demonstrations. They want to redo the government in a very socially conscious way. And we actually think of them in some ways of being, at least this is the stereotype they want to give us, is they want to give us this idea that they're really nice people, that they love everybody. And if you want an example of this on the right, it was the speech given after Obama's last State of the Union address. And what they did is they had Haley come on, the governor of South Carolina, to give the Republican Party counter speech to Mr. Obama's State of the Union. Now, it's not a very fair speech in the sense that it's Nikki Haley. Her last name is H-A-L-E-Y. And she came on, and she's only got 10 minutes, and he had 45, and, you know, so it's very unbalanced. But the point would be, she came on to give a speech about the ideas of the Republican Party, and she literally said in her speech that we need to hug each other. This is the idea that the socialists, and Bernie Sanders represents them more than anybody, in my opinion, and now he's the grandfather. You know, he's 75 years old, as I said, and he's trying to almost present himself as this grandfatherly guy. He was born, according to Wikipedia, on September the 19th of 19... No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. That's his father. Let's see. I'll find it here in a minute. But anyway, the point is that they want to come off as being really, really nice people. And that there isn't any way that they would ever want to harm anybody. And what they want to do is they want to do good things and be nice to everybody. And out of this philosophical niceness that they have and this love of humanity, they're going to change the way things are. Because underneath it all, there is a deep-seated belief within leftist, socialist, communist theory that the right wing, underneath their philosophy, is nothing but hatred and bigotry. And so what they do is they portray themselves as being really nice people who are the doorstops, as it were, or the people who are going to fight the bigotry and hatred of the right wing. And this has taken them a fairly long way. And I say this because if you think about it, how do you really and truly justify the fact that anybody can even claim to be a socialist or have any ties to communism in any way after the history of the communist left between 1917 and 1965 or 75 when Pol Pot showed up in Cambodia? Mr. Sanders was born on September 8th of 1941, so he was born right at the beginning of World War II. My argument is this is a very deep question that should be answered, because the right wing, the real right wing as it's described, didn't survive it. For some reason, Hitler was all bad, but Stalin is, well, you know, you can't really get too wound up about him. And when people, and I see this constantly on YouTube, if you pull up a documentary about it, Joseph Stalin, and it outlines all the criminal acts that he's committed. And they were unbelievable. 40 million dead, starvation, the Ukraine. You can go see them. They're in the World Book. There's a college professor in this country, by the way, out of New York, who says that Stalin never did one thing wrong. He never committed a crime. Well, if you see the documentaries on YouTube, you'll always see somebody in the commentating section say, well, all this stuff they've said about Hitler, about Stalin, is just not true. It's made up, and it's like Hillary. It's a right-wing conspiracy that they say bad things about him. Well, I'm going to say a lot of bad things about Joe, and Joe was one of the great psychotics that ever lived and ran a country. And what he did is he fed off the Russian equity and just ended up just surviving by murdering everything he had and using it. As one person described Stalin, he was very similar to a person in that in order for him to maintain a high-protein diet, he was a cannibal. And that's basically how he ran his life, was he cannibalized everything around him in order to survive. But let's get back to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has these characteristics I was going to say. I'll do those first, and then I'm going to get into some other issues. First of all, he was born in New York. He's from Brooklyn, and he came from a Jewish immigrant family from Poland. And one of the characteristics that is seen from the left by the right is that people who are socialists or claim to be a communist, a leftist, are outsiders to American society. Now, being an outsider in American society can take a whole lot of different forms. You don't have to be Jewish, but it's just an example of one person who statistically is an outsider because they're a minority in the country as far as their belief system. But if you think about it, I could argue with you that an Amish person is the same thing. It's the idea that very often people who have a certain idea about America that is not of the norm, that is not the way that most people live, they themselves come from a group of people that are not within the norm. I saw a show about Israel one time, about a guy who ran a farm in Israel. It was a documentary on different aspects of Israeli society. And there was this a fairly decent-sized group of Christians on this Israeli farmer's land helping him. And all of them were from what we would classify in the Christian world as minority sects of Protestantism. They were Mennonites, or they were pacifists of a Unitarian type sect. They weren't mainstream Catholics who constitute, there's like 60 million Catholics in the United States or something. There are not 60 million Mennonites in the United States. And so my point to you is he comes from that background, and he comes from New York. And it's very important that very often that socialists come from a very high density population area compared to the rest of the United States. And that's because when you live in an area like New York, it is already, in a sense, far more socialist than it would be if you lived in a small town somewhere, for example, in middle America. Really large cities have public transportation. They use subways. They use buses. Many people don't even own cars that live in Brooklyn, New York. You walk everywhere. You don't drive all the time. The idea of sharing transportation, of sharing resources, of living in a very closed space with your neighbor, sharing the same apartment building with other people, putting your trash out with a group. You know, if you live in an apartment of 60 people, you're all putting your trash out together. These things are all communal. And I cannot, in my opinion, the people that I have met very often who have a very definite socialist leaning have already lived a life of in a certain kind of communal way. That people who live in suburbs and come from a different background simply didn't do when they were growing up. It wasn't part of what they were. They lived far more independently, and they saw themselves living far more independently. If you live where I live now, there are people, I am sure, in a rural community that have never ridden a public bus. They've never been on one. And there's no cab service out here. There's nothing but you and your truck. That's what you've got. It's not a communal experience. Sanders had this as a child. He was bar mitzvahed. He was part of the Jewish community. And then he joined into the civil rights movement, supposedly, of the 60s, which made perfect sense. And as far as this kind of background goes, these things are all connected together. And what makes socialism such a complicated matter in America is that socialists try to tie themselves directly to civil rights. But the fact of the matter is, socialism is an economic theory. But we have made it, I think, and it has been transformed by much of American leftists into a social theory instead of an economic theory. Socialism is not a theory in many of the people that I think profess it in this country that is about how money is made and the way in which money is spent through the government and the way in which we as human beings collectively make money. In fact, many leftists, including men like David Harvey, who is a Marxist, have said that a lot of the modern leftists won't even talk about economy. This is extraordinary. They don't preach about it. Now, Sanders does, but in a different way than I'm talking about. But they don't specifically emphasize the idea of how money is created and how you work. What they talk about is social equality. And what they talk about, and they classify themselves as progressive, is they constantly talk about race, sexism, gay rights, these kind of things, as their platform is a way of making an equal society, but it's equal in a social way, literally social, on the framework of how human beings interact in their personal lives, and then how that works out in society, as opposed to an actual serious conversation as to how money is made. And Harvey, the Marxist, has said this is one reason why it fails. Because he said you can't be a leftist and refuse to talk about how money's made. And Bernie Sanders, to his credit, if you believe in any of thing, does talk about it. Because he's always talking about the 1%. But that's also just a way of talking about inequality. Why don't these people want to talk about how money is made? And that is because the countries of the world that truly attempted to come up with a communist socialist model very, very often have failed economically. They've failed miserably economically. And even, again, my favorite Marxist in the world, David Harvey, has admitted to this, that there's been a lot of failure. Now, there's a lot of reasons why the left says it failed, and they blame the right wing for it, and it's never themselves. But my point to you is, there is this failure. And so here's the question the right wing asks about the left, and why Bernie Sanders, I say, is such an important question. Nobody in this country, nobody, can run for political office and tell you that they're going to inherit the banner of Adolf Hitler, that they want to run America just exactly the same way that Adolf Hitler ran Germany in 1941. You cannot run in this country on the right-wing ticket and be considered a radical at all and have anybody have anything to do. You'll probably end up in jail. But how is it that the left has managed to survive Stalin? If you go to the World Almanac and look up the greatest mass murderers in the 20th century, the top two are communists. It's Mao Zedong and Joseph Stalin. Hitler didn't kill as many because he didn't have the time. They got rid of him. You get Pol Pot kills like a fifth of his population or something. My point is, how do they survive this? And it comes down to this, and this is the key understanding of what the left wants to do, or why they've survived, I should say. Has survived because what the left has argued is that the socialist communist models have failed in practice, but they didn't fail in motive. This is very similar to an argument about religion, and that's why one of the reasons that socialists very often are accused of having a certain kind of religious quality about what they speak about. It's almost like a faith. What they believe is that their faith is good. They have faith in their faith. They want equality. They want to treat people well. They want to give kids medical care and educations. They want to treat immigrants nice. They're just good people. But in practice, when the philosophy of the socialism was applied, it just didn't come out too well on an economic level, and it really was violent and really bloody. But the motives were there, and I even read a guy one time, I read a book back in the 80s when there was a big movement in the Christian world to incorporate Marxism and Catholicism, especially in South America, together. And it didn't last very long. It ended up in all kinds of philosophical troubles. But the guy that wrote a book about it, even he said that Stalin, even though he may have murdered all those people, Stalin did care about poor people. That he actually said this, that he said that Joseph Stalin had sympathy for the poor. How you could ever come up with that, I have no idea. But this is how they preach. They preach the inner motives of their belief system, and that because they have such good motives, their system has goodness about it, and it has merit, and it needs to be preserved. Because their claim is that the right wing of the country doesn't have any good motives. That the truth of the matter is the core philosophical motivation of the right is bigoted and evil. And this is a very, very serious historical reality that the right wing won't accept. If you listen to people from the right on radio shows, and you listen to people, you know, even commonly, I mean, the common figure is Alex Jones, someone like that, they give you the impression that they just can't understand how anybody can believe in this leftist communist drivel. But they fail to see the fact that the left is able to espouse its motives. And they keep saying, well, you know, and again, religious organizations do the same thing. You have a minister that fails, and the church itself doesn't do that well, but if you go to the people who are in the organization and you ask them about the organization, they will tell you that they love God, that they're very good people, good motivations, and that they want to do good. And that doing good is supposed to kind of cover over everything else within the philosophy itself. Bernie Sanders is trying to tell the world right now that he's a good guy and Hillary Clinton is bad. That his motives are good and that her motives are not. And you know what? I agree with him. I think Bernie Sanders has good motives. The problem is, as I've said before, if you attempt to actually do what he wants, there's never been anybody who's come up with a way of trying to create the equal society economically that he wants and have it work. And why he would be the one to make it work as opposed to all these other people is a very serious question. And this is the other thing that happens almost every time somebody like Bernie Sanders becomes the leader of a country. If Bernie Sanders were to become president, he would only run the country for 8 years at most. He'd have to win two terms. He'd have to win a second election, but he could do it. What's strange is, not strange, but interesting, I should say, is that when somebody like him gets elected, the people who don't want him there really wait their time, and they really work against him. So that there's almost no way for anything he wants to do to ever truly get put into practice. And even if it is, when he's gone, many times it's all overthrown and gotten rid of. It's a very brutal way of doing it, but it's done. If right now, down in Venezuela, that's what's going on. The right won the election, and they're just literally throwing the left out the door. You should read about it. It's really vicious. But my point to you is this is what you're doing. And the model that Bernie Sanders is living off of, and this is what is equally interesting about him, it's not an American model. And I think this is also one of the reasons why people like him get the right wing so wound up. if you were to speak to the average left winger as I have in my lifetime, they want to model the American government on Europe, specifically Sweden, Norway, and Germany, France thrown in here and there, and they want the British medical system. But it's Europe that they see as a better system than the American. And this has always been a problem for the right, too, and why this people like Bernie Sanders are seen by many very serious people as somebody who are, in a very real way, un-American. They don't believe in the constitutional individuality that we do in the same way that it's preached, 18th century Enlightenment preached it. They are much more associated with a leftist model out of the European model, which, as I've said it earlier in my show, is much closer to the model that would run, say, New York City. In a way, you could make a historical argument that New York City is like a European city compared to many of the cities in the United States. It has great ethnic groups in it. It's got a huge, dense population, and again, it's run on a very socialist model. It had housing prices that were fixed for years, rent controls, a lot of government intervention, a lot of police, very heavy police presence. It's a model that is not seen. If you read 18th century America, and particularly if you go to the Jeffersonian view of the world, which was rural, you know, Jefferson and those people supposedly, if you read some of the literature about them and read them, wanted to have America as a rural society. They wanted everybody to live on their own land and be independent and take care of themselves. They didn't think that the American model would work if you had a system very similar to what's in New York. Because once you create a socialist model, communal model like that, people lose their independent way of thinking and they start thinking about everything in terms of the group as opposed to being an individual. What's interesting, though, is that Bernie Sanders is opposed to many of the NSA, CIA spying that has been done, which the right wing is for. So people say, well, that means he's a guy who's independent. No, what it means is that Bernie is against the Patriot Act, not because he's against spying on people. I don't think that's why he's against it. He's against it because he thinks they're going to spy on him. If he takes over the government, he'll spy on everybody. It's just that he doesn't want them spying on him. And this is what the left does very often. If it thinks that the bill being passed is against them personally or is going to affect them, they're against it. But once they take over the country, they're not against any of it. But I do think he's against the foreign wars, but he's against them because of the money being spent. And he's against them because he sees it as a waste of resources that could be used in many other ways that he would promote, free college tuition and all that kind of thing. I'm down to about a minute or so left on the show, so I'm probably going to do another one because I really want to get into a couple other topics, and that is, what is the failure of the socialist government and why have they failed and can it be fixed? But what I want to leave with today is simply the idea that the left has never gone away because it has always been able to hold on to the idea that it has a core set of beliefs that are beneficial and altruistic and good for the world. It's just a matter of getting them implemented, and there are people who still buy into it. They don't buy into the idea that it will necessarily be a failure this time. And as I said, that has a very religious quality about it. I mean, if you want a silly analogy in a way, but a good analogy too, the Catholic Church. Why are people still in the Catholic Church? Because they think fundamentally there's a good in the church that has to be preserved despite all the bad that is said about it. I'd like to thank you very much. My time is up again, and I really will have to do another show on this. But and anyway, I think Mr. Sanders is going to be in the race for a while. God bless. Have a great day.